You know, the night before Jesus was crucified, he made a very strange statement that really nobody who was there totally understood. He said this, he says, "In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me, because I am alive and you're about to come alive." You know, Jesus shares that same curious statement here this morning, and he says that Easter's about coming alive. In other words, Jesus Christ proved he was who he said he was. He says, "I'm God, and I'm going to let them kill me and bury me in the ground, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise myself from the grave and come back to life and show everybody that I am exactly who I said I was." He walked around Jerusalem, tons of people saw him, and ever since that time in history, history has been split into AD and BC. Every time you say 2023, you're referring to Jesus Christ, 2023 years since he walked on this earth. And you know, almost everybody knows that part of the Easter story. That's why we came today. It's what we celebrate. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But what most people don't know is the second part of this story, the part that involves us, the part that says this: he included everyone in his death so that everyone would be included in his life, a far better life than people lived on their own. But you start asking, what is the better life? I was reflecting earlier today, and I just wondered, just because of the way things are, how many people came in this morning a little bit stressed by life, a little consumed with worries. It could be about finances or relationships or about work, about the economy or really everything going on in our world today. How many people may be burdened by some of the things happening in the world, scared or fearful about what is to come? I always say that life is hard, but God is good. But man, life just keeps on coming in all its different ways. And I started thinking that this place, churches that preach the truth, they're still sanctuaries in the midst of the crazy, isn't it? You can still come here and be connected to Jesus. You can still be connected to his power and to his love and to his forgiveness and to his grace. You can be connected to this better life. God has a way better way of going about things than the way we've been doing, at least culturally. But I think we so often settle for less because we just don't know. We just don't know that there's something better out there. I was thinking about that too, and when I was little, my parents told me that I loved Gerber's strained spinach. Apparently, it was my favorite one. I loved it. It was yummy. I ate it all the time. They would put it all over my face sometimes too. I don't know, but the reality is I loved it. Now, as it was a few years ago, I had the opportunity to give that to my child. They did not like it the same way I did. And in fact, I don't know how this happened, but I actually know that it tastes a little bit like tree bark right now. And it's a different story how I know that. But the reality is, at that time when I was little, I loved it because I didn't know there was something better. I got to elementary school and I discovered SpaghettiOs, and that was quite a bit better than the tree bark I had been used to, and so I was loving that. And I went to college and I experienced In-N-Out Burger, and now we're talking, that is something definitely better in life. Of course, today I've tasted a lot of great foods, had a lot of great dinners, but I would never want to go back to strained spinach. Why? Because I've tasted something better. There's a better way of life that God has for us, a better way of living it than the stress and the worry and the anxiety and the fear that we so often walk around with. So I believe that God brought you here today so that he could let you in on a little secret. There is something better. There's something more than just the good life that we so talk about in our day-to-day, or we aspire to as we try to live our lives. I say that because over the years of my ministry, I've discovered there's a lot of, at least beneath the image of this good life, there's a lot of little dirty secrets that nobody really talks about. Secrets like this: people feel exhausted today. Anybody there? If you have preschoolers, if you have kids that you're driving all over town, people feel exhausted. They're worn out. They say, "I'm tired all the time, Pastor. I can't keep the pace." Secrets like people are empty inside. They say, "I don't think I got another thing in me. I don't have anything left to give. I'm stretched to the limit." And in those quiet moments, they're thinking, if this is the good life, then why am I so unsatisfied so much of the time? Secrets like people feel enslaved. I can't tell you the number of times I've had people tell me, "Pastor, I just feel trapped. Trapped by my life right now. Trapped by my debt. Trapped by this relationship. Trapped by the expectations of other people around me. I feel trapped by my guilt, by my fear. Even my own schedule, I feel trapped. I don't seem to have the solutions. I don't seem to be able to do anything about the stuff that's going crazy in my life. And as a result, we yearn for that something more that Jesus talks about. That's something that gives us peace in the midst of the storm. That's something that helps us make sense of this craziness that's going on in the world around us. The thing that gives us strength to fight our battles. The thing that gives us freedom from beating ourselves up continually for our past. But the truth is, although nobody wants to talk about them, all these sound a little bit too familiar, don't we? And we do yearn for that something more. We want to come alive. We want the better life that Jesus talks about. But sometimes I just don't think we know where exactly to look for it. So that's why God sent us Jesus, wasn't it? So that he could show you the way to that something more. To that thing that we've been craving for. So that he could show you just how much that he has to offer you. So we're here on Easter. What is it that he has to offer that makes such a difference? Why do we proclaim his name? Why do we celebrate him as our God? One of the first things he has to offer you this morning is this. He offers you a life filled with meaning, purpose. I think one of the greatest tragedies in life is not dying, but it's going through your entire life without knowing why you're here, without having a purpose, without having any meaning. And I think people yearn for this at some level, for sure. And so we fill our life searching and trying to find that thing that makes it make sense. And as we do, we begin to confuse the full life with the fulfilled life, with the meaningful life. But they're not really the same, is it? You could have a totally full schedule, but it's a little different than having a fulfilled life. So we search for meaning in all kinds of different ways. We think, if I can just get more possessions, man, I can just get that extra thing, then my life will have meaning. But we get that next thing, or the next Christmas comes, and we discover there's always more to get. If I can just accomplish enough things, so I can put plaques on my wall, so I can have these trophies on my shelf, so I can show the world that I've done something. But as soon as we accomplish it, it seems like there's always more to accomplish. They keep asking us, what have you done for us lately? And nothing ever seems to be enough. So we continue to search for meaning through hobbies and sports and travel, relationships, even food sometimes. And they're all good things. It's just that they don't last. And so what do? The answer the Bible gives us is if you want lasting meaning in your life, you need to go to the source of all meaning. You need to run to Jesus. Paul says it this way, Christ gives meaning to your life. And think about that. You were made by God. You didn't get to make yourself. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He created you for purpose. There's stuff that he wants you to do while you're in this earth. God made you, and he made you for a purpose. But until you understand that truth, that you are made by God and for God, life's not going to make any sense. And I think that's a big confusion in America, because we've been sold this bill of goods that life's all about us, and we get confused when the other person doesn't make it all about us. Why aren't you making my life easier? Why aren't you making me more happy? Why aren't you serving me more, different things? We think life's all about us. And part of the pain of life is realizing that it's not. But that's why Jesus came. He came to give meaning to your life. He came to provide a way to start over, to begin again. He came to create in you something totally different and better than you've ever expected or experienced. The Bible says that. It says Jesus died so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised to life for our sake. God says you weren't made to live for you. You were made to live for me. And when you live for God, you're plugged into his power and you're plugged into his grace, into his love. You're plugged into him, and that gives your life meaning and significance and purpose. Kind of what Jesus modeled. Jesus could have saved himself a whole bunch of pain, a whole bunch of hurt. He could have avoided going to the cross, but if he did that, he never could have saved us. So he gave up everything so that you could have everything. He died in sorrow so that you could live forever in joy. He died so that you could have that better life. He also offered a life filled with grace. I love the word grace. We actually named our littlest Grace. It's a fun name. But what is grace exactly? It's a churchy word, right? We use it a lot. Grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. That's grace. Grace is God saying, I love you more than you could ever comprehend. Grace is God saying, I forgive you even though you don't deserve it. Grace is God saying, I'm not mad at you because of what Jesus has done and taking away your sin. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a second chance and a third chance and a bazillionth chance because you're my kid and I love you and I want you to be with me in heaven. Grace is God saying you are free. The Bible says this, that he gave his life to purchase freedom for everybody. In other words, on the cross, Jesus paid the price to give you freedom so that you would no longer wallow in this and be a slave to all that guilt and worry and fear and stress and anxiety that so often complicates our life. He paid to set you free. And there's a word for that that you don't hear much anymore that's used in the Bible. It's the word called redemption. To be redeemed actually means to have your freedom paid for. And the reason we don't use this word much anymore is because it came out of the slave trading years. In the slave trading years, people would intentionally buy slaves in order to set them free. They were called redeemers. They would redeem a slave. Someone would say slavery is wrong. It's evil. That person deserves to be set free. So they would buy that person's freedom, and then they would let them go. They would have been redeemed, freed. So Jesus Christ came to redeem you, to set you free from all the things that keep you hung up, all the things that entrap you, all the habits that mess up things, all the hang-ups, all the things that continually complicate your life. He says, I want to set you free from all of it, and I want to give you a new life of real freedom. In fact, I love the imagery of baptism. You can do it in all sorts of different ways, but in the New Testament times, they would take people to the river, right, or to a lake, and they would dunk them completely under. I think the perfect imagery would be waiting until the bubbles would start coming up, right, and then lifting them up, and they're gasping in that air, but for insurance reasons, we don't do that. But anyway, it's perfect imagery because what you're doing in that baptism is this. You're saying, I'm burying my old life. My life without meaning, without purpose. The life that was stuck. The life that was filled with guilt. The life that was worried. And through this water and his word, I'm receiving a new life where I have been redeemed, where I have been set free. And then he offers us one more thing. A life full of energy. Does that sound good to anybody? It sounds amazing to me, almost as much as the other ones. There's an old story, but I love it. I'm going to share it, and then I'm going to apply it a little bit. In USA Today a few years back, there was a story about this town of Ridgewood, New Jersey. Anyway, in it, there was a worn-out mother named Maria who got fed up with her family's overscheduled lifestyle. She was constantly juggling with her kids, their homework, their music lessons, the soccer practices, the swim meets, the ballet and SAT sessions. This turned into a nation or a citywide revolt against having too many activities. So the article continues and said, this last Tuesday, the entire town of Ridgewood, New Jersey, canceled everything so that people could stay at home and do nothing. The city family night was called Ready, Set, Relax. School officials promised homework amnesty. Sports teams canceled all their games and practices. Clubs and churches canceled everything, all their evening classes. This notoriously overscheduled suburb took a collective timeout on Tuesday. The mayor said, we're all severely overextended. We're victims of our own success. So they planned a night where nothing was planned. It was recorded. Many families actually cooked their own dinners together, helped each other with the cleanup, and then played board games unopened since Christmas. Article continued. Here's the irony. Residents were so addicted to activity that they didn't know what to do, so they asked for a list of suggested activities. Others wanted to turn it into a competitive contest for who had the best family night. No wonder they were out of energy all the time. But I think it's probably just as true for us, isn't it? A couple years ago, we had a worldwide pandemic, and it slowed everything down for all of us for a season. All of our activities, all of the ways that we used to go to work, all the stuff that we had on our plate, all of a sudden came to a screeching halt, and it affected people. A lot of people left the workforce at that time so that they could spend more time with family. A lot of people started working at home to avoid that hour to hour and a half commute so they could spend more time with people that they loved. It's interesting, though, 2 years later, we're almost right back to where we were before. We're running every different place. We're stressed out of our minds because of the schedules that we have and the things that we're trying to do. We've got different worries and different fears and different anxieties and different stress, but they keep us spinning, it seems like, 24/7. We're exhausted. And when we're exhausted, things get more complicated, don't they? Have you ever noticed when you're low on energy how little things become really big things? Or when you're a little bit stressed or don't have patience, how the littlest things can tick us off? Do you ever get that feeling that there's a beeper going on in your life and you hear it and you know what's going on, but you don't really know what it is that's causing it? I'll tell you what it is. You're running on your own energy. Your battery's about to go out and you need something more, when we all feel it. The Bible says that those who feel tired and worn out will find new life and energy. Again, it says you will not succeed on your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, God says you don't have to do this all by yourself anymore. He says, plug into my power. I got you. Why? Because the same power that he demonstrated when he rose his son from the grave, the same power that he used to speak the world into existence, is the same power that's available to us on a day-to-day basis. Our God is able. There is nothing that is impossible for him. So the Bible says everybody who comes alive in Christ. And it's in this relationship with Jesus that you get that better life. You don't get it through religion or coming to church a few times a year. You get it through a relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I came so that you can have real and eternal life, a better life than you ever dreamed of. This is why I came. And so instead of feeling empty and enslaved and exhausted, Jesus says, I want you to be free. I want you to be empowered. I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy. I want you to have hope. I mean, think about it. The reason we celebrate Easter is because he rose from the dead and he saved us. He's our Savior from sin, which means we can leave it behind. We don't have to keep beating ourselves up from the past. And there's a tangible freedom that comes on the other side of that. Because he walks with us and is with us every second of the day, has promised to work all things for the good of those who love him, we have a peace knowing he's with us in the midst of the storms of life, that he's got us no matter how crazy things are, that nothing is impossible for him, which gives us hope, not only in heaven, but in tomorrow. He gives us a way to live this life that's better, that's more centered, that's more empowered than we could have ever imagined. And that's what Easter's all about. It's not about the crowds or the Easter eggs or the Easter baskets. It's about his love and his forgiveness and about the ability to begin again and again and again. Guys, it's about the better life. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus today. We thank you for you pursuing us with your love, not waiting for us to figure it out, but sending Jesus, for forgiving our sins, for strengthening our spirits, for giving us a peace in the midst of the storm, for giving us a hope in tomorrow and in heaven, for being with us every second of the day so that we're never alone, for reminding us that you've got us as we're going through this crazy world. But let us hold on to those things. Let those things center us and empower us and give us a peace as we deal with all the crazy in this world, as we deal with all the crazy in our life. And that's our prayer today, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.